Welcome to the podcast. We're here today with Michael Grabel, who for the past year has been writing about the growing trend of temporary workers, temps, people who are hired by labor agencies to go into big companies and do some of the most dirty and dangerous jobs. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you for having me here, Steve.
Let's begin with the sort of rise of the temp worker. We have seen in the last couple of months some very encouraging economic news. Unemployment is dropping. People say there's an economic recovery. What role are the temps playing in that?
One of the things in this recovery is that the temp sector has really grown enormously. We have record number of temp workers in the U.S. I was just looking today, and since the recession ended, we've added 1 million temp workers. That's more than a sixth of the total job growth we've had since the recession ended. And one thing that was really interesting in the recent jobs report was that the economy grew by a net of 74,000 jobs, or the temp industry grew by a net of 40,000 jobs.
So in other words, the majority of the growth was actually temps?
Yeah, there's a little bit of statistical stuff in there, but yes.
Well, that's remarkable. What kind of jobs are these?
These are mostly blue-collar jobs. The temp industry, which you might think of the temp industry back in the days of secretaries and typing pools, has really changed, and almost all of the growth has been in factories and warehouse work.
So, Michael, you recently did a story on the question of whether or not temp workers get injured more than their permanent colleagues, and if so, by how much. Was that something that was easy to get to?
No. This is something that the federal government does not keep statistics on.
Now, wait a minute. So why is that? I mean, why doesn't the government know whether a temp worker or a permanent worker is injured? Don't they track injuries?
They do. They track injuries for every industry except the temp industry because of some flaws in the survey. In the way that they have it done makes it impossible to really compare temp workers rather than regular workers. It's this whole question of whether is it really an industry in itself or is it a status of the worker like a part-time worker?
Okay, so there are no federal statistics, so that seems like a pretty big roadblock. So how in the world would you ever figure out what's going on?
So we went to about 25 states and asked them for their workers' comp data. This is the system when anyone gets injured, they can file a claim against their employer and ask for compensation for their medical bills, for time that they lost from work. So this was really the only way to go about it. And after knocking on the door of 25 states, there were ultimately five states that we were able to get the data in, but they include Florida and California and several other states, making up about a quarter of the U.S. workforce.
And what did you find?
We found that, in fact, temps were injured at significantly higher rates than regular workers. And it increased greatly when you looked at just temps and blue-collar industries. This is something that surprised us. We thought it would kind of explain a lot of it, just the fact that they worked in more dangerous jobs. But in fact, in Florida, where we could look at this really closely, temps in blue-collar jobs were six times more likely to be injured than regular workers in blue-collar jobs.
I want to pause here because that's, I think, really significant. So going into this, you had a theory that maybe the reason there was a difference overall between temp and full-time was that the temps were just doing the really crappy, dangerous jobs and that was going to explain it. So how did you sort of figure out then that that wasn't the case?
So we did a statistical analysis using the workers' comp data and then some employment surveys from the Census Bureau. One of the challenges in this is that we wanted to look at occupations within the temp industry. And this is something that the workers' comp data does not really tell us because there it just says laborer or it'll say nurse. And it won't give us enough information that we can match it with the codes that the Labor Department uses. So we had to actually code these occupations in order to do the analysis.
So in other words, you took the workers' comp data, figured out, you know, was the laborer carrying bricks? I'm making this up now. Was he, you know, just standing and waving a flag at a cone? Because obviously that's a big difference.
Right.
And so that's when you figured out that even when you could narrow it down and sort of get apples to apples, the temp worker was still far more likely to be injured.
That's right.
Why is that? I mean, do you have a hypothesis on what would be causing that?
A lot of this comes down to the fact that temps are new to the job. They're sent into dangerous jobs, and then they're sent without much training. We found in looking at some of the OSHA files is that a lot of companies didn't want to take responsibilities for the temps. They didn't want to train them. They didn't want to provide them with the same safety equipment on the notion that they're not their employee. They're only going to be there for maybe a week or a few weeks or a few months. So they didn't want to take ownership and train them in the way that they would a regular worker. another thing that we found was that people would be sent to these work sites. You know, the temp agency was told they're a warehouse clerk or they're going to be counting boxes or checking the labels on the bottles to make sure that they're attached correctly. And then somebody calls them over and says, I need you to clean this heavy machinery, or in case of Bacardi, I need you to clean the glass underneath this heavy machinery. And a worker, this is his first day and his first job of his life, doesn't know how to work around machines, doesn't get much direction from his boss, and gets put in a dangerous situation.
Michael, you did a lot of reporting on this accident at Bacardi's Jacksonville plant, and a young man, 21 years old, who was crushed to death on his first day at the job. What did you learn looking at that case?
Well, one thing that we learned and that surprised me is how poorly Bacardi was sort of running the plant there in Jacksonville.
How so?
OSHA, when they went in there, found that big bottles of rum were actually falling off the conveyor belt and crashing onto the ground, and that the conveyor belt would get jammed up. They described Bacardi as a company that put profits over safety. They trained their workers to cut corners. In fact, nobody really knew how to shut down these machines properly. And then a lot of the workers had temps were, in fact, treated as second-class citizens and peons. And there's these amazingly blunt quotes from OSHA inspectors. You don't expect to have much emotion, but they say, you know, that Bacardi essentially tried to shift the blame to its temp agencies and say that because they weren't their workers, they weren't responsible for training them.
Well, now, it seems like if you're Bacardi, you know, you wouldn't want this to happen, both because, of course, of the bad publicity, as you report, when the worker dies and it gets into the newspapers, but also because a worker gets harmed, I assume that you're going to be paying out money. You're going to be liable. Well, why isn't Bacardi worried about that?
Well, Bacardi is not responsible for the workers' comp costs. None of these companies are. If they hire a temp worker, it's the temp agency that has to pay if the worker gets injured. And it's the temp industry that sees its insurance premiums go up. This is not the way the workers' comp system was designed. The workers' comp system was designed as kind of a market force where if you had a lot of injuries at your place, you would have to pay higher insurance premiums, and therefore you would be compelled to try to make your place as safe as possible.
So in other words, the companies are kind of outsourcing their labor to these temp companies, and thereby, if they have a lot of injuries, they don't have to pay the price.
That's right.
So does this system seem to be, and I'm just curious here, is it seem to be raising the amount of worker injuries? I mean, if you keep converting workers to temps and temps get injured at a higher rate, are we going to see more worker injuries?
I don't know if we're seeing it overall. I don't know if the temp sector is enough to influence that. But one thing that what really surprised me is that the temp industry is one of the fastest growing industries in the U.S., but it's also one of the few industries that, according to the workers' comp data, where injury rates are going up. That is totally in opposition to the trends in every single industry in the U.S. No matter what you're looking at, the trend lines over the last 5 years, 10 years have all been going down and have becoming much more safe. But one of the things that I don't think public health researchers have been able to realize until we looked at this workers' comp data is that this industry is, in fact, going up in terms of its injury rate.
Well, but that may be correct because the supposedly safer injuries are now handing more dangerous jobs to temps.
That's very possible. And one thing that was interesting in looking at actual cases is over and over and over again, you see temps sent to clean the inside of chemical tanks, and then they become asphyxiated. You see temps going to work in a heat wave on a garbage truck, on a roof or something else, and they die of heat stroke. And you see what happened to Day Davis in our story at Bacardi, where they're sent to clean a machine and they get pulled into the machine or crushed by the machine.
Now, Michael, you've talked to some experts about the question of what could be done about this. What do they say?
One of the things they say is that the Labor Department actually could, in fact, be tracking these injuries very simply by adding a checkbox to a form that already exists. Essentially, right now, the federal government requires a large number of employers to write down every time a worker gets injured, and in many cases, to submit it to the federal government. What they could do for each of these industries is just have a checkbox that says, is this a temp worker? Is this a contract worker? Is this your regular full-time employee? And that will give OSHA the data it needed to know for sure on a nationwide level exactly how temps are getting injured, in what occupations, and what types of injuries.
Even without those statistics, it sounds like OSHA could be doing a lot more to hold the temp agencies, the manpower agencies, accountable.
Right. One thing that we saw over and over again is that the temp agency won't be fined at all. In fact, they won't really even be investigated. The standard at OSHA for years has been whoever is supervising the work is the one held responsible. And increasingly, it seems that OSHA has been making an effort to find ways to make sure that the temp agency is advising the worker about what they're supposed to be doing, is providing the appropriate preliminary training. And we have seen fines because of that. And that's what some of the advocates say should be happening more.
So, Michael, give us a sense of prospects for change here. Is there any change on the horizon? Does OSHA have a recognition of this problem? And if so, what are they doing about it?
So OSHA is working on a temp worker initiative in which they're trying to get better data on the situation. They're asking all of their inspectors when they go out to a work site to say, are there temp workers here? What kind of training do they get? Do you include them in your training? This is kind of a preliminary step that OSHA could take. To really change this, it would really have to come from Congress. I mean, one of the things that you haven't seen in many years is much labor regulation. But it's interesting to see in the 1960s, Congress decided that migrant farm workers faced a situation that was different from regular workers, and they enacted laws protecting migrant farm workers. In the 1970s, they decided that coal miners faced a risk that was different than other workers, and they created laws that protected coal miners. Now we're seeing this growing industry of temp workers that largely falls through the cracks, and it sort of would be up to Congress to decide that this is a special class of workers facing special risks that where the law needs to be clarified.
Now, in order to do that, of course, I assume that you would be affecting the profits of some very large companies.
You might be. But, I mean, this is stuff that they're supposed to be following the law anyway to do. You know, if they have any worker, regardless if they're a regular worker or a temp, they're supposed to be training them, and that costs the same regardless.
Michael, thank you very much for your attention to this issue. I'm sure we'll be talking about it more in the coming year. Michael Grabel.
Thank you.